My Family Thinks I'm Crazy, a podcast where I, your host, try to give you some tips on how you can explain all this weird, wild, crazy conspiracy stuff to the people you love most. Because that's what I've been trying to do for the past 10 years with no success. I've been telling everybody that our government is shady, but every time I do, my family thinks I'm crazy. The hollow earth, UFOs, aliens invading. And they don't want to hear it. They're just like, oh, here we go, Mark. Off again with your...
Mark being Mark again.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's the thing about podcasts is when you're on the air, and it's like therapy, you know? If I can't talk to my family about this stuff, I'll talk to you, Matt, and all our listeners.
You know, just tell your whole podcast.
Yeah. So who are we talking about today, Matt?
Section of the 1948 Act called this section 1005 or 1005, and it says, in carrying out the provisions of this act, it shall be the duty of the secretary to utilize to the maximum extent practicable, that's a very important word, practicable, the services and facilities of private agencies, including existing American press, publishing, radio, motion picture, and other agencies through contractual arrangements or otherwise. And so essentially it's saying that, you know, it's not a law that the government can come in there and take your commandeer, but it's kind of like, you know, if the government wants to use, let's say, a studio to record something, let's say it's the fake moon landing, right, with Stanley Kubrick, and they can go in there and do that, and then they have to sign all these NDAs, and of course it becomes federal law then. And you have to you're not allowed to talk about any of that stuff. So basically what I'm trying to say is government goes in and says, if it's a radio or a motion picture company, they can say, we want to use your company. And you pretty much have to do it because it's the government, right? And so that's what they were doing since 1948.
You just heard today's guest, host of the Awakened podcast, who joins me, Mystic Mark, here on the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy this conversation with Brad Lale. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. Don't mind my voice. I'm a little hoarse. Or maybe I'm just getting older. Who knows? Maybe this is my new voice, but I feel like I sound different. But anyways, we've got a wonderful guest in store, somebody who's been on the show a couple times already. It's always a pleasure to have him back on the show from the Awakened podcast. My man Brad Lale is back on the show. Brad just got back from Bohemian Grove. But aside from that, which again, we'll mention like where people can find that episode panel show you did at the end so they don't forget. But what have you been up to since? What's going on other than Bro Grove?
Not much, man. I've been busy. You know, we just finished my son's, I was helping coach the Little League All-Star team. So we've been, you know, going at it pretty hard for about a month and a half now, practicing a couple hours a day and all kind of stuff. But yeah, other than that, man, I've been trying to catch up on content. I got a lot of great episodes in store. I got a lot of great episodes already ready. I just got to get them posted and everything, maybe a little bit of editing here and there and then post them. But yeah, I got some big interviews coming up. I got Freddie Silva, the author Freddie Silva. He's been on like History Channel and some other stuff. I got a great episode coming out with Prometheus Lens on his show about the 33rd parallel and plasma portals, which I've covered on your show as well. So thank you again for having me on. I appreciate that. And yeah, man, I got some cool stuff coming up. Like I was telling you before the show, did a great panel with the guys from Cult of Conspiracy podcast, Prometheus Lens, Biblical Hitman, and Donut and Paranoid America, and a whole bunch of great people at the Bohemian Grove. So that's right. Coming out on the Nephilim Death Squad channel soon. So y'all can look for that. But yeah, that's cool. Pretty much it, man. Got some tons of research as always, as what we do in this show, you know, doing these shows, is you get into one rabbit hole and you can't stop until you figure it all out. Right. Or at least try to figure it out anyway. So yeah, that's pretty much it, man.
Right on. Yeah. We will link all that up in the episode description for you, for the audience. But in the notes, I have one phrase here: media manipulation. What's going on with the media? I mean, geez, have we had a crazy time in the past month or what? Like, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. So is that at all related to what your topic is today, or am I off there?
No, that's exactly. I mean, I had a great conversation with Jake Shields over the weekend at Bohemian Grove and Sam about this, and we kind of, you know, we didn't go too deep. I mean, we were there to have fun and, you know, listen to the crazy antics that were on stage, but we did have some really good conversations about it. And one of the biggest things that I've been concerned about more than anything is, and I feel like it's super important to get that kind of stuff out there, that what I'm about to talk about, because there's not a lot of people talking about it. I mean, you know, even guys who've been in it for a while, Sam knew a lot about it, but like Jake Shields, for example, didn't know a lot about it. There's a, you know, the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948 and then the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012. That's why you see all the chaos that's going on in our world, man. It all stems from that. It really kind of stems from this earlier 2008 Citizens United case, which was, you know, passed by conservatives, and they just wanted to basically treat organizations and companies as private individuals. And so they opened the door to a lot of dark money in politics. And then Barack Obama came through and just kind of kicked the door wide open. I would say more like he exploded the door wide open for dark money in politics. And that's why you're seeing a lot of crazy movements like the No Kings movement and the George Floyd riots and all that stuff. All that's propaganda. Everything is propaganda. We have an organization that called the U.S. Agency for Global Media that came from the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948. It's changed names a lot over the years, but now it's called the U.S. Agency for Global Media. And that basically is overseen by the State Department. And in 2012, when Obama did the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act, what that basically did was it classified the internet as a media. And it also allows, so the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948 basically gave permission to the government to propagandize people overseas, for those who don't know. And we have radio stations and newspapers and all kinds of things that allow us to propagandize. And that's pretty much what the State Department does.
Hold on. Maybe the wires got crossed on my end or your end. Totally fine if you misspoke there. But the Smith-Mundt Act made it possible for the United States to propagandize its own citizens. We had already been sending propaganda around the world. Maybe I misheard you. But
the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948 was what they originally came up with.
So you're saying this was pre-war, like post-World War II, they're like, all right, we can send propaganda around the world. And then Obama kicks down the door and he's like, actually, we could propagandize our own citizens.
That's exactly what happened.
Wow.
Yeah, and there's one little section of the 1948 Act called this section 1005 or 1005. And it says, in carrying out the provisions of this act, it shall be the duty of the secretary to utilize to the maximum extent practicable, that's a very important word, practicable, the services and facilities of private agencies, including existing American press, publishing, radio, motion picture, and other agencies through contractual arrangements or otherwise. And so essentially it's saying that, you know, it's not a law that the government can come in there and take your, in, you know, commandeer, but it's kind of like, you know, if the government wants to use, let's say, a studio to record something, let's say it's the fake moon landing, right, with Stanley Kubrick, and they can go in there and do that. And then they have to sign all these NDAs. And of course, it becomes federal law then. And you have to you're not allowed to talk about any of that stuff. So basically, what I'm trying to say is the government said, government goes in and says, if it's a radio or a motion picture company, they can say, we want to use your company. And you pretty much have to do it because it's the government. Right. And so that's what they were doing since 1948. and we were propagandizing Americans, I mean, people overseas. And then, you know, 2012 come around and Obama's like, hey, let's classify the internet as the media as well, which basically gives them the right to commandeer the media. I mean, the internet. So anything that has to do with the internet, and that's why you see the Twitter files that happen. That's why you see, you know, all the stuff with the No Kings movement and all this stuff. It all stems from that because, like I said, with, you know, classifying the internet as the media, you're basically, and then saying, by the way, that the media is, you know, all over the place. You can't escape the media. I mean, the internet, sorry, I broke up a little bit, but it says you can't escape the internet. It's all over the place. So it's okay to propagandize American citizens. And that's sort of where the law came from. So what happened was, you know, with the Twitter files and all that stuff, I kind of, as a marketer, as a media, you know, I've been doing media and marketing since, you know, 2003. I have a degree in marketing. I've been seeing this a lot. And I used to think that I used to be like, oh, Facebook and Google and all of them, they're terrible, evil people that are doing this. But now I see that they are being forced to do this to the maximum extent practicable, right? But that's a very legal word, that word practicable. And so that gives them authority to pretty much do whatever they want. There was a project called Project Maven that was started in 2017 that basically, you know, the U.S. government had a contract with Google to start using AI to look at all this drone information and stuff from in wartime and make battlefield decisions, basically. And Google went to them and said, well, we don't want to do it anymore because of ethical reasons. And they cited the maximum extent practicable thing from the 1948 Act. So what happened from Project Maven, it was ended essentially with Google. And then that's when Palantir came into existence and started and took over that contract. So that kind of is how it ties in there. But with the Citizens United case of 2008, like I mentioned before, it started allowing dark money in the politics. And what happened from that was you got people like the 501c4s basically became nonprofits, became like 1,000% increase in them after 2008. And Barack Obama created a organization called Organizing for Action. So what happened was you got all these social welfare groups that were kind of spinning up. And OFA was one of them. And so money was being funneled, a lot of money, like big rich people like George Soros was funneling money into Organizing for Action. And it was acting like a small grassroots organization, but they were also getting like government grant money and stuff like that from the government. So it was in the best interest of, you know, organizations like OFA to do the bidding for the government. And so that's why you started seeing, like, I remember in 2008, and I mentioned this on Sam's show a while back, whenever you guys had me on, I remember seeing something in 2014, because I do web design and stuff for a living, like I said, and I went to Obama's website and I was like, oh, this is a nice looking website. And I was looking around on it because I was trying to get like ideas on, you know, you do that for inspiration and stuff when you're a designer. And as I was looking in there, I saw that there was a thing there. It said sign up for OFA. And I was like, I want, you know, it looked interesting and it had some really strange language in it. And it was basically saying this. So I signed up for it. It was basically saying like, sign up and we'll send you a pamphlet and they'll pay you money and all this other stuff. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. So I signed up and I got a pamphlet and I read the pamphlet. The pamphlet said something along the lines of, you know, how to go into Congress. It was basically teaching how to cause chaos in politics. Go into Congress, you know, separate five, if you got five people, separate them all throughout the room, and then everybody start causing chaos to make it look like it's a lot of people, you know, a lot of stuff going on in the session. And so what also happened was it was saying stuff like where to go to get print materials and marketing materials and things like that, like where to go get signage, how to organize correctly. And they had pre-written press releases in this document, all kind of crazy things. And it was absurd because it was literally everything that they were doing in the George Floyd riots, that was coming from these pamphlets that were created by OFA, which again was Obama's Organizing for Action, which later became Obama for America. I know it's a little bit all over the place, but what I'm trying to say is that these sneaky social welfare groups got heavily involved in political activism. And the government is essentially saying, you know, you go do our bidding or you're not going to get any more government funding. And this is where NGOs like USAID come into play and all these other different organizations. So they basically have to do the government's bidding or they're going to lose all of their funding. So now you got this, and they're also going to lose funding from all these rich people. Again, this dark money in politics, you can't track when all these companies are given money, you can't track it. So that's why you got AIPAC and all these other different organizations out there now that exist, because it's a free for all for everyone. So the No Kings movement, if you think about it, like all of a sudden everybody's got signs that are made that look exactly the same. Everybody's, you know, coordinating with times and places and all that. I mean, to do that, to put on an event and to have signage and all that stuff takes a lot of work. People don't understand that the graphic design stuff alone can take a couple of weeks. So these aren't spontaneous movements that are going on, is what I'm trying to say. And so I'll stop there and kind of let you jump in. But
yeah, I know where we're going with this, Brad, because, you know, I think you're a little older than me, maybe not, just based on life circumstances. It feels like you're a little older than me. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, I'm 42.
Yeah. Okay. So you're about 12 years older than me. So when I was in high school and middle school, Obama was running for office. And, you know, prior to that, yeah, I was a kid, so I probably didn't have the, you know, best pool of info to compare this with. But my grandfather and his father were involved in local politics, and my papa liked to collect little like signage and stuff. And you look at some of the slogans and the political marketing that existed, you know, in that time period before my birth, you know, 90s, 80s, 70s and beyond. There was a clear and concerted change when Obama came into office. It went from like white background, red and blue lettering, cheap little like we're better than the other guy kind of phrases. Now it's like hope, change. It's multi. There's artists involved. There's a lot of money building up this quote unquote grassroots movement. Yeah, this is, I mean, that's the thing. When you look at some of the earliest conspiracy theories, they come from grassroots people. They come from fringe groups. And if you study these fringe groups, you realize they're pretty small and they're not very influential. So, you know, when Obama comes in with this Obama for America, or its original acronym, Organizing for Action.
Right.
And this is suspicious, man, right? Like, this is just, it's like they pulled out all the stops for this guy. As far as like the propaganda side of it goes, like I remember that image is burned into my mind. The, you know, red and blue sort of posterized color picture of Obama with the word hope underneath it. You know, it's like that's like an iconic, and it kind of fit right into like the Obey, Shepard Fairey kind of style of art, Banksy kind of style of art, like this, like, we're protesting, but we're not really protesting. We're almost ironically being satirical about protest art, right? So it's just very weird. I'm sorry to throw a bunch of random points of information at you, but it does stoke a lot of flame for me. And to bring it back to today and what's been going on recently, who was the woman who organized this No Kings? I guess we can call it a protest, but it really doesn't feel like a real grassroots protest. It feels like an operation. It was the Walmart CFO or CEO, someone really high up at Walmart that kind of kicked this whole thing off.
Yeah. Yeah, essentially that's who it was. I mean, but again, man, you know, if you look at what Obama and all these other politicians, especially left-leaning politicians, did when they came out of office, they created media organizations and they're all involved. Susan Rice is on the board of Netflix. Obama created a company called Higher Ground, which is a production company, a film production company. Hillary Clinton created a company with her daughter Chelsea called Hidden Light. Stacey Abrams created one. I forgot the name of it, but she's got a media company too. They all have media buying companies as well, which is another sleazy way of making millions of dollars for every single political campaign that comes along. That's why Bernie Sanders runs, for example. His wife has a media buying company. So they get rich whenever they run for office. They get extremely rich because that media buying company, they make about 12% or something along the lines of that from every, you know, let's say that they get $150 million for their media buying company to go buy media. And that could mean advertisements on the radio or TV or wherever. And, or it could mean ads online, but the media buying company who gets $150 to do all that gets 10% of that. And if you get 10% of that, that's $15 million, right? I mean, that's a lot of money. So then that's how, you know, Bernie Sanders has three houses and Obama and Trump and all of them have some ties to media buying companies. Matter of fact, I build websites for a living and a local politician asked me if I had a media buying company and if I didn't, if I wanted to start one. And I had no clue at the time what he was even, I was like, no, I'll just do web design, you know. But now I know, I get what he was trying to get at. It's like, hey, everybody's making money off of just running for office. You don't even have to win. Again, that's why Bernie got into the race the second time and the first time. But anyways, you know, all these organizations have, you know, Obama and all these politicians, they immediately get involved in media. And there has to be a reason why. And I mean, you think they just love making movies? All of a sudden, they just want to start making movies and all this. You know, Obama had, what's the movie called, where he had like a subliminal acoustic manipulation in it? I can't remember the name of it. It was like, oh, Leave the World Behind or something along those lines. And subliminal acoustic manipulation is, you know, the use of like sound frequencies, tones, messages, things like that are played at a level that's below the conscious awareness, but still processed by the brain. So it's like, it's subliminal advertising essentially. And these low frequency sound, there's mass messages, there are binaural beats, there's these different things to get you in a state of fear. And they actually admitted that they did this, the people who put this movie together. So any basically infrasound, anything that's below 20 hertz, we can't hear it, but it's there. We can hear it like kind of like how dogs can hear a whistle. You know what I mean? We can hear it and we don't know why, but we're terrified. And that's because it's infrasound. That means that it's like a tiger's growl. A tiger's growl is like 18 hertz, and it rumbles on a level that's terrifying. That's a you know, this fear inducing rumble, this sound that we can't hear. So they're putting this stuff in movies, and they're talking. When they put this stuff in movies, they're trying to get us to manifest a reality. And if they're talking about Leave the World Behind and End of the World type stuff, they keep pushing this and pushing this and pushing this. And they want us to have this fear that's vibrating in our bodies. And then this manifestation that's coming from our brains, because our brains are like these antennas that create, you know, our thoughts create, our words create, all this other stuff. So there's some deep evil things that are going on with these organizations. And like I said, you know, Obama's Leave the World Behind is just one of them. I mean, there's many different movies and TV shows that they're creating and putting stuff. They're putting an evil frequency out in the airwaves, basically. And so it's pretty scary. But yeah, you know, people like the Walmart Foundation gets involved. And the reason they have to get involved with the protest for the No Kings movement and stuff like that is because if they don't, they're going to lose government grant money. That government grant money is what, you know, kind of keeps them afloat. It's what pays the bills. It's what keeps the, you know, the presidents or the CEOs or whoever of these organizations happy. This is the reason why they make $15 million, $20 million, $30 million a year, is because they continue to play ball. And yeah, I believe she was dropping off these certain masks and stuff that you can only get from Walmart, right? And that guy ended up getting caught, which I would bet my life on it that he won't get any time in jail. So,
I'm not familiar who got caught and for doing what.
There was a guy who was caught on camera dropping off a bunch of masks and stuff. The mask, only kind of mask that they were like these gas mask type things that you can only get on at Walmart.com.
Huh. So, and that. That's to protect the protesters from tear gas or whatever,
right?
Crowd control. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. See, I mean, You know, the average person, they hear all this and they might think something like, oh, but, you know, that's marketing. That's how the world goes around. You know, I scratch your back, you scratch mine. I pull your arm, you pull mine, you know, like, but when you point out the fact that there are subliminal acoustic manipulation going on a subsonic level, you know, bringing in the sound of a tiger in order to provoke fear in somebody in this inaudible way. They don't know they're hearing a tiger, but this instinctual sort of sound and reaction that we have as human beings, you know, makes us uneasy. And then I believe when you're in a state of fear and trauma, your attention becomes much more clear, like your ability to focus in on certain experiences and remember them for a long time. This is facilitated in these states. So, you know, you want to ingrain a message into somebody, you wouldn't do it by shaking their hand and telling them they're a nice guy. You'd do it by scaring the crap out of them and whispering it in their ear right after they got shocked, right? Because they're not going to forget that. So there's definitely a method to what seems like just madness. And yeah, wow. I mean, to think that these people are manipulating us on such a grand scale, it's almost too good to be true. Like, how do you think these people get involved in this? Is it purely predatory? Is it purely, you know, financially motivated? Because you pointed out how much money these people are making doing this. So obviously that's got to be motivating people. But is there more to it than that?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're afraid of going to federal prison, if you don't comply with the government, and because they use things like the Smith-Mont Act, it has provisions. The government can't just confiscate anything they want unless it's national security purposes. But if we're in a state of war all the time, there's always national security purposes, right? They use that national security as this guise for everything. I mean, they classify things for 50, 60, 70 years under the guise of national security. But yeah, it's fear. People, first of all, they don't want to lose their jobs because they have families, they have kids and stuff like that. I don't blame them, right? But you know, you only have a few brave people who are willing to step out. And then what happens to them? What happens to guys like Edward Snowden and Julian Assange? They immediately go to prison for 6 years, or they're, you know, cast out of American society for 15 years or whatever it's been for Edward Snowden. And that, I mean, that's what happens. That's the reality. Anytime you step off the reservation, they punish you for it. And people see that very clearly. So whenever I first saw Zuckerberg go on Rogan and he was talking about, you know, oh, the government was making us do this, the first thing I thought was, man, F this guy, you know, like he allowed this to happen. But then I thought about it and I'm like, maybe he was forced into doing this. And then when you see stuff like the Twitter files, dude, I mean, that was deep. That was very deep. I mean, there's so many different government agencies involved, from the FBI to, I mean, imagine being Twitter or Facebook, and then all of a sudden you get emails on a regular basis from the FBI, from the CIA, people like that. And they're saying it's national security. You better take this down or else. Now, remember, like during all this time, I wouldn't really get into why I think the second election of when Biden was elected, I think they wanted Biden to win in order to cover their tracks because of all the stuff that they were doing during the first part of the administration for Trump, during the first administration for Trump. So what happened was they helped Biden get into office so they can run out the statute of limitations on everything that was happening. And that's exactly what we see. That's why Cash Patel is not, you know, prosecuting these people to the maximum extent of the law, is because he's like, well, statute of limitations is around, so we can't say anything to Lois Lerner or, you know, anybody who was involved in the Twitter files or anything like that, because all this stuff happened in 2017. I think some of the statute of limitations is like 5 years. I could be wrong, but I think it's like 5 years. But yeah, I mean, Twitter files, dude, you know, it was all the Hunter Biden suppression story. You know, they were shadow banning. There was COVID-19 censorship. There was, you know, all kind of stuff that was going on. Twitter, the FBI was paying Twitter like $3.4 million for staffing costs just to handle government moderation requests. And that was just from the FBI alone. I mean, there was immense amount of pressure from political campaigns and NGOs, and you know, again, there was the federal agencies were involved, were the FBI, the DHS, the CISA, which is the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. They were doing the ODNI, DOD, CIA, like I said, the NSA, CDC, the White House, congressional committees. And then you got non-governmental organizations that were involved and nonprofits like the Election Integrity Partnership, the Stanford Internet Observatory, CIS, the Center for Internet Security, the Center for Internet Security, the Global Engagement Center, the World Health Organization, Public Goods Project. I mean, on and on, Media Matters. And so imagine being bombarded daily as Twitter, and you're just trying to like literally, you know, have a platform that people can tweet off of and have fun. And I'm starting to feel bad. I know it sounds, I'll probably get beat up in the comments for saying that, but I do feel bad whenever all of these organizations are barking orders at you and you have to comply to it. Then, you know, I can understand why Jack Dorsey left the company, right? And then I can see why Elon Musk changed the name of Twitter to X, because imagine all the lawsuits that are coming out of all the Twitter files that's going to happen. So he doesn't want X to get sued. He probably wants, you know, the company Twitter to get sued, if that's still a thing. I don't know if he bought their whole rights to the name Twitter. I don't know how it works. But point is there were so many different hands involved. The education, you know, like Harvard, Kennedy School, the New York University Cybersecurity for Democracy. I mean, it goes on and on and on. The list is immense. And there was somebody on the Union of the Unwanted who actually mapped it all out. I can't remember who it was, but I remember seeing it and I was like, wow, that was perfect. I wish I could find out who that was, because I'd reach out to him and see if I could get a copy of it just to be able to share it on my website or something. That way the information is always out there. But yeah, and that was just the Twitter files. And we don't know what's going on at Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp and TikTok and all the other companies that are out there. So when people ask me, why don't I use Google? I mean, why don't I use YouTube and Rumble? Why don't I have a big presence on there? Well, that's why. I mean, I hate to say that. It's because they have inroads with the government. They have to comply. What's one organization that doesn't have to comply that was pretty stern and allowed a lot of information about COVID to get out there? It was Spotify. Spotify was allowing it because Spotify is, I believe, a Swedish company. So they don't have to adhere to any of those rules. And so now it starts to make a little bit more sense why there's, you know, manipulation in one form of social media, but then again, Spotify is still up doing its thing. And believe me, Spotify received a lot of pressure to take down Rogan and all his stuff. I mean, they, you know, we're going to cancel all this and all this stuff. We're going to, you know, lawsuit after lawsuit and all this other stuff.
It seems like Spotify helped insulate Joe from the censorship by giving him such a great deal exclusively on their platform, which wasn't censoring people. Wow, that's interesting. I've been a Spotify subscriber since like 2008. So I'm very proud to support Spotify for the past 17 years. Yeah, wow, interesting. I wonder, you know, as far as YouTube goes, you know, what the threshold is before you start getting eyes on you, and when the, you know, executives come down and invite you in for a board meeting and they say, hey, Mr. Beast, you know, we really like your channel. You've got millions of subscribers. What do you say we start doing content that, you know, looks a little bit more like this, right? And then we start seeing, you know, Beast Games where people are competing with each other. And I'm not trying to pick on Mr. Beast. I think he does some pretty interesting things altruistically. Who knows, maybe that's just to cover his ass because he's up to some strange stuff. But yeah, Mr. Beast feels like one of these types, and believe it or not, he and a handful of other successful YouTubers are signed to an agency. So these aren't really like freelance grassroots type people like we assume when we're subscribing to a channel. We tend to think, oh, this guy, he's just like me, he started a YouTube channel and now he has a million followers. No. That guy got picked up, probably 10,000, 20,000 followers in, and he's been on a certain course since then. Not Mr. Beast, but just that world in general of people who have agents. And it's exactly like you're describing, like it's with these NGOs where, you know, they can come in and kind of bully media companies into doing what they want. And there's no accountability on that, on, you know, behalf of the government, because it's a shell company that's doing these things. It's not, you know, it's an NGO. It's not technically, even though it's funded by the government, it's not operated by the government. So yeah, this is a very strange gray area. And
what is that? What does that allow for? That allows for, like, well, the government kind of washes their hands of it. They said, well, we don't, what is it? There's a word for it. They're like, you know, they basically
plausible
say
liability.
Yes, that's it. The plenty of right. Plausible liability, or, you know, it's like, or plausible deniability, right? Like, I don't know nothing. Like, you know, they just keep pushing that stuff out there and they disseminate. And that's what one thing that Obama did masterfully was he started disseminating all his dirty deeds through these different organizations. And what happens? I mean, you can't subpoena every single organization that I just listed for the Twitter files. It would take you years to get through that. And by the time you got through that, the statute of limitations would be over with it, you know? And so that's what they do. And that's where the money, this dark money now. So the government gives out government grants, you know, federal grants to these different companies. And those companies just go wild and they do whatever bidding, whoever wants them. You know, if it's mostly, let's just be honest, it's mostly left-leaning organizations, like some of the ones like I just mentioned, but there are some conservative ones, obviously. And people forget about the Lois Lerner stuff that happened in 2017 and 2016 and stuff like that. I mean, the evil things that they were doing, where they were, when conservatives were trying to put forth their nonprofits, their 501c4s, and do the same thing and start competing the same way that with all this propaganda that the liberals were doing, what did Lois Lerner do? She denied all of them. And she admitted she denied all of them, and nothing happened to her. She got caught. The inspector general said, yeah, this was happening, but, well, too late now. The statute of limitations is over with, so they can't prosecute her to the full extent of the law. And that's what they do. They continue to just spread it so thin, or, you know, spread it out so much, decentralize it so much, that nobody can find out what's going on with anything. And that's what they do with all this alien disclosure and all this other stuff too. But, you know, in short though, like I was saying with the Smith-Mundt Act, I mean, Obama gave the US government permission to propagandize its own citizen with government narratives through the media. And that's what we see today, man. And it's extremely scary. And now you got the US Agency for Global Media spreading propaganda legally out overseas and all that stuff, but now also through our media. You got the State Department has the Global Engagement Center, which is kind of like what I'm describing to us, another propaganda arm. And there's 10,000 employees, by the way. So to think that there, if you think that there's no podcasters and all this stuff out there who aren't a part of the, you know, all these state departments and U.S. Agency for Global Media and stuff like that, you're completely wrong. The DOD has psychological operations. That's a real department. They call it influence campaigns, but it's a real department of psyops. That's exactly what they do. And they do this and they study people. I mean, we know this because, I mean, there's been so much stuff that they've done over the years. That's the church committee was the reason we found out that they were doing Project MK Ultra and stuff. Right, is because, like, and they had been doing that because of the Smith-Mundt Act and the connection to the Smith-Mundt Act and the State Department. They've been doing that since they were doing all the Project MK Ultra for specifically to basically go over and use this overseas for national security. That was the whole purpose of it. But the church committee exposed that, and then we got some regulations on it. Well, don't propagandize your citizens and all this stuff. It was like a slap on the wrist and nothing was ever made of it. And truthfully, man, that's why we have so much chaos going on in the world. It's a lot of fake news out there, but it's not created by us. It's not created by you and I, the new media, the alt media. It's created by, you know, the media companies that are owned by, listen to this. Disney owns ABC, ESPN, Marvel, Lucasfilm, and National Geographic. And who are they controlled by? Vanguard, BlackRock, and all these other institutional investors, but Vanguard and BlackRock are the main ones. Comcast owns CNN, HBO, DC Entertainment, Discovery Channel, and their major investors are Vanguard and BlackRock. Paramount Global, who owns CBS, MTV, Nickelodeon, and Showtime, they're controlled by Vanguard and BlackRock. Netflix, controlled by Vanguard and BlackRock. Prime Video, MGM, Twitch, owned by Jeff Bezos, Vanguard, and BlackRock, Apple, Vanguard, BlackRock, and Berkshire Hathaway, and on and on, dude. Fox Corp is owned by mostly owned by Rupert Murdoch and family, but there are a lot of institutional investors like Vanguard and BlackRock. But the bottom line is that there are three major firms, Vanguard, BlackRock, and State Street, that own all the media, that control what's being said through all the media. So what they do, man, and I discovered this a long time ago, is they have this meeting, this yearly meeting, this annual meeting in Sun Valley, Idaho, where the media goes and gets together. And this is where the purchase of Twitter happened, or the acquisition of WhatsApp, and the acquisition of Instagram. This is all where all these decisions are made. And it's the richest of the rich, and it's the media moguls and all these things. They all get together. And it's also influencers that go there too. It's big stars, you know, like LeBron James and people like that, who can influence the media. So it's a meeting of the media. But what happens first is the Bilderberg Group. The Bilderberg Group meetings go on, and it's a meeting of the world leaders. They get together and they decide the next 5 years worth of policy, right? And then they go to Sun Valley, Idaho conference every single year, and they determine, how do we put this into the media? And then so for the next 5 years, so like, for example, you know, 10 years ago, I looked this up, because they give their talking points, but they don't go in depth about what they talk about in the Bilderberg Group. They were talking about AI, and they were talking about Syria and all this other stuff. And then 5 years later, AI is in the forefront. Syria is being bombed by, you know, allegedly being bombed by US and whoever else. I don't know what else is going on with that. But and then so they basically plan out what's going to happen in the world every 5 to 10 years, and then they propagandize us with it through the media. They have this meeting, Sun Valley, Idaho, where they get all the influencers together. You start seeing movies about end of the world stuff and all this stuff. And so that's pretty much how they do it. They control us. They manipulate us through continuously guiding us in with our thoughts and our energy and all this stuff through movies and TV shows and different things. I mean, haven't you ever noticed that, you know, we're going through a vampire phase, and then we're going through as a collective consciousness in the media, like as a collective consciousness or consumers, we're all into vampires, and now we're all into UFOs, and now we're all into end of the world stuff and post-apocalyptic stuff like Walking Dead and all this other thing, all these other different shows. So yeah, that's what they do, man. They get together and they keep continuously just guiding us in whatever direction they want us to go in. And you have to get off that reservation. And once you do, that's why you get silenced and censored. I believe that my name has been silenced and censored just by talking about, I'm not even a big name, just by talking about certain things like the 33rd parallel. You can't find any information about the 33rd parallel online, despite being on your show and Sam's and Tony's show and the confessionals and all these other big shows. You can't find much information about the 33rd parallel, including stuff on my own website. And that just tells me that we're talking about the right things if they're trying to ban us, if they're trying to shadow ban us and get rid of all that information. So there's no doubt in my mind that they have organizations that are looking at us, and they're listening to the shows we're doing and all that stuff. And you see it on Apple with when you and I do shows, and or when we put out shows on Spotify, and we probably have way more following, bigger audience and stuff on Spotify compared to Apple. And yet Apple has a bigger share of the phone market, or, you know, in terms of iPhones and stuff like that. And so thus they have people who have access to Apple Podcasts. And yet those audiences are half of what our Spotify audiences are. And so that should give you a good example right there of the censorship and how real it is. I mean, the fact that what they did to Alex Jones, if it's all real, what they did to him is, I mean, him and Milo Yiannopoulos and all these, and what was the Gab AI and all that stuff. I mean, dude, when you know the power of what they're doing, it's insane. I mean, they essentially, they called internet service provider companies, and they said, take him off the internet. So they were calling GoDaddy and whoever, and they were saying, take Alex Jones off your company or else. And so GoDaddy had to comply. Internet service providers like AT&T had to comply, because it's the federal government. They control the airwaves. They control, you know, with the FCC and all this other stuff. So they have to comply. but they basically took him off the internet. And so he had to go create his own servers and create his own internet service provider and start his company from the ground up. And that's what Gab AI had to do too. And it's extremely hard to do, man. It's insane how much money and effort goes into starting your own internet service provider and setting up your own servers, your data center, your own data centers and stuff like that. So when they take someone off the web, I mean, it's a killer for someone who exists mostly on the web, you know, like Alex Jones with InfoWars. So they really did some damage to Alex Jones, man. And I feel terrible for him, and I feel terrible for Milo Yiannopoulos. And it just sucks. I hope that there's something that happens from all this. I hope they end up figuring out a way to sue the government over this, because it's definitely coordinated 100% through the government. And if you're not a media mouthpiece for the government, depending on who's in office, you're targeted. You're going to be targeted and probably kicked off the internet, or worse, jailed, you know, like they did with, unfortunately, like they did with Julian Assange. And he provided some incredible insight with the WikiLeaks documents on Hillary Clinton and John Podesta and all these people. And there's some stuff in there that, if you haven't looked at it, for those who are listening, they're talking about non-human intelligence, which is aliens. That's their code word for aliens. They're talking about pizza, weird stuff with pizza. I mean, you guys know that. You listen to, you know, Sam and all these different shows. They're talking about sacrificing chickens, the Moloch, and all this other stuff. So we really got to see behind the scenes of the evil empire that's kind of pushing all this propaganda. It's evil. It is 100% evil. And they are trying to guide us into the direction that they want us to go in, because they want us to manifest reality, because we are humans. We are light beings, and man, manifestation. We can manifest reality. So we're humans. And, you know, these disembodied entities that are out there, they're not. They're trying to get us to manifest whatever reality. And that reality that they want, in my opinion, is population control. They want to get rid of human beings. They want us off. They want us gone. They need some people that they can control through fear, like I mentioned earlier, with infrasound and all this other stuff. Because when they get us in a state of fear, these disembodied entities can inhabit our bodies, essentially. So they do need some of us. But what are they doing now? They're creating an AI that they're trying to, I mean, this is what Palantir is. Palantir is the seeing stones that Sauron used in Lord of the Rings. And Sauron was like the Moloch character for Middle Earth. He's the overseer of Middle Earth. And he used the Palantir seeing stones to watch over Middle Earth and keep people in order. And he was working for a Satan-like being called Morgoth. And so, yeah, that's what they're doing with this stuff, man. They're trying to get us to create AI systems and stuff like that. AI cannot function without us. They cannot survive without us. Human beings are the ones who program AI. We're the ones who provide it data by putting our information online, because that's the only thing that AI pulls from is information online. There are some algorithms involved and some math involved and statistically this and that. But it's program language that someone has to select the parameters for program language. And that program language is called if this, then that. And if this, you know, if it's 100 degrees, turn on the air conditioner. That's a simple programming language that is out there for AI. And so we're creating the machine. I mean, we're creating the AI by programming it, and then we're feeding it. And then we're also, by giving it all of our data, we're helping it learn and grow, because I think they want to take the brain, all this brain power from knowing everything that's going on in the world, and put it into a digital god. And they want that digital god. This is what Larry Page said to Elon Musk. You know, Larry Page is in charge of OpenAI, who is now working with Palantir or Peter Thiel to operate Palantir and Stargate Project, which is, you know, 20, what is it? Is it 20 data centers and 100,000 jobs? I can't remember what it is, but it's basically they're creating a big brain network of a brain for this AI digital god that they're trying to manifest. And so they want us to create an egregore, a negative egregore. And then we're just going to plug our everything, our inflections in our voices, what you're hearing right now. They're going to read all of our emails and see how we type and talk. And then they're trying to form like some kind of a super digital god that can essentially take over the world and get rid of human beings. that's really what I think is happening. I know it's kind of a long-winded, I kind of went on a journey like Sam's always saying, I kind of went on a Bilbo Baggins journey, but it's a, you know, no pun intended with the Palantiri stuff, but that's where they're getting that from. So.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors. First and foremost, The Hit Kit is kicking ass and taking names with their brand new 3D printed rolling kits and smoking kits. So go and check that out on Instagram at The Hit Kit. Next up, we've got my Patreon. Sign up on the Patreon to support the show and pre-order some exclusive limited edition merch that I will be hand printing very soon. The designs are going to go up on the Patreon and the Substack, so sign up there to get first dibs and look out for the new merch run. It's going to be releasing very soon. All right, now let's get to our serious sponsors. First and foremost, Vibe Med X, your number one source for the purest Shilajit, sourced directly from the Altai Mountains of Russia. No one else gets this high quality Shilajit but our friend Ron at Vibe Med X. So go and check that out today with the promo code CRAZY. You will save big time and do yourself a favor with Shilajit, the vitamin of the gods. The vitamin of the gods. How can you go wrong with an herb like that? And it's not an herb. It's a sort of resinous material that comes from the tops of mountains, unlike any other supplement you can find. So go and check it out today. Vibe MedX. Use the promo code CRAZY at checkout and do your health a favor. Next up, do your privacy a favor by getting Above phones, laptops, or tablets so you can safely and securely browse the web and interact with others in this social network that's clearly been compromised. We are selling our data unwittingly to people who are then going to accumulate all that information and use it against us, Palantir and all the rest. So don't let that happen to you. Start browsing the web safely with Above Phone and their full line of products, their suite of programs. It's a great replacement for Windows and Apple. I love my Linux Above Phone laptop. It's really interesting, the difference, but I've gotten over the hump and I really enjoy using this product. So if this sounds like something that you are interested in, use the promo code CRAZY when checking out at abovephone.com. like I said, tablets, laptops, and phones. Laptop is the clear winner for me. I really enjoy it, but you can't go wrong with any other product, so check it out today. And last but not least, let's tell you where to check it out. Abovephone.com, promo code /crazy for the promo code, blah, 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 blah. Last but not least, we have our friend Adam Shell and Brain Supreme. Brain Supreme for all your microdosing needs. Yes, it is a gray area, but you can use these supplements to a successful end. Psilocybin is a wonder drug, and at small doses can really make a difference in your cognitive functional ability. So if you're interested in seeing what microdosing can do for you, go to brainsupreme.co and use the promo code CRAZY at checkout now. All right, that does it for our ads. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back to the show after this quick break to our dynamic ads. If you want every show ad-free, remember, sign up on the Patreon or the Substack and support the show. We need you. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you about my favorite new sponsor. That's Mood. I love Mood because they're providing affordable, accessible, convenient, and transparent cannabis that's 100% legal and grown on small, pesticide-free American farms. That's right, American cannabis for American listeners. And it's 100% legal. They've got a full selection of cannabis products. I was a huge fan of their Tangy flower. Wow, it really brought me back to when I first tried Tangy, and it was incredible. So if you have any doubts, try Mood for yourself, and I doubt you'll be disappointed. Use the promo code CRAZY and get 20% off your first order at mood.com. That's 100% federally legal cannabis, pesticide-free, delivered directly to your front door in a discreet package. Mood.com, promo code CRAZY, and trust me, folks, you're going to love this stuff. I give it the Mystic Mark guarantee. And Mood is going to back that up because not only do they stand behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, you get 20% off your first order with promo code CRAZY. Hey, this is Mystic Mark with a quick message about Hims and how they can help you men in the bedroom. That's right, ED can be uncomfortable, but that's why Hims provides access to a comfortable solution with an all-online process and personalized treatment options. That's right, Hims is changing men's healthcare by providing you with access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. The process is 100% online, so there's no need to see a doctor. Just fill out the intake form on their site and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships directly to you for free. No insurance needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. With hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, Hims can help you find the ED option that works for you. Start your Hims online visit today at hims.com/crazy. That's hims.com/crazy for your personalized ED treatment options. That's hims.com/crazy. The featured products include compounded products which are not approved nor verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality by the FDA. Prescription required. See website details for restrictions and important safety information. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Wow. Yeah. Now, on that note, what can we do to stop this? Have you put any thought to, or what at least you would do, what you're going to do to avoid this, knowing all of what you know? I mean, what can people do out there to avoid succumbing to this digital matrix AI digital god?
Well, I think that what happens, we're the only ones who can manifest reality. We're the only ones who can create. We're made in God's image, and thus we're the ones who can create life and think and build computers and build stuff with hammer and nail and all this stuff. So I think that if we decided to collectively just ignore it, it's like when it's, you know, can I say the C word from that happened in 2020 on your show?
Yeah.
Well, it's like when COVID happened in 2020, right? It was like, you know, everybody immediately believed it. And what did they do on the news? They continuously pushed it out, you know, pumped it out. And the narrative was like, people are dying. 33 new deaths every day, or 33 confirmed cases here, and 33,000 deaths here and there, and, you know, all that other stuff. But every time we turned on the news, there was a death ticker, and there was an infection ticker, and all this other stuff, right? And so they had us really believing that all this was going on. And I truly believe that they had us thinking that, you know, because our minds are incredibly powerful. So if you believe that you lost your taste and smell, then you're going to lose your taste and smell. And so I believe that they were tricking us into believing that this thing was real. But then something happened where we started to wake up. People like Rogan, like I said, punched through the collective consciousness, this bubble of information. He punched through that. And I'm grateful for that, obviously. But what happened was everybody, it was like a flood. Everybody just kind of woke, started waking up at the same time. And now everybody's kind of awake and they're looking for shows like ours to find information. But I think that's what we have to do. We have to collectively wake up to the idea that we got to stop feeding these things. We got to stop feeding these AI machines. We got to stop consenting to all of our data to be shared and stored online and all this other stuff. And, you know, unfortunately, you and I use ChatGPT and all this other stuff when we create shows and research and all this other stuff. So we're feeding the machine as well. But I think more importantly, we have to make sure that we don't manifest it into reality as an egregore. Like, we just think of it as a tool, not something that, because all they're pushing all the time now is it's going to take over. AI is the new thing. It's going to take over jobs. They keep pushing that. And so they have us, they'll have us believing that. And if we believe it, we're going to manifest it into reality. So I think the only way to do that is to just be like, no, good luck. It's never going to happen. Literally just say those things out loud. And I think that that would help, you know, slow it down or back it off. Because we're the ones in charge. I mean, we're the hamsters in the wheel, moving the wheel that created the wheel and the whole nine yards. Are we're the ones who do everything. There's an episode of Rick and Morty about this, dude, where, you know, Rick created his own world just to, so they can create electricity for him to operate some little machine that was on his table or something like that. I can't remember the episode, but for those who like Rick and Morty, it's a really interesting episode, because that's kind of how I think of this reality, is like, we're just all used. We're all being used to manifest whatever they want. And they are, in my opinion, the disembodied entities, the fallen angels. And they're trying to get into our reality. They're trying to inhabit God's light, but they can't do it. They can't do it through AI. They can't do it through nothing. I mean, they're trying hybrid breeding programs and all this other stuff, but none of that stuff works, you know, because we're uniquely created in God's image. And so none of that other stuff will work. That's why when you see someone who's drunk and high on drugs, when people were in Kensington, Philadelphia, and they're like all slumped over and stuff, high on drugs, that's because these demons don't know how to act when they get into a human body, because it's not made for them. It's you know, uniquely made for human beings. So yeah, man, we exist in this little small fraction, this little small 0.0035% of the in electromagnetic spectrum, and that 99.665% of the invisible world around us is spiritual, ethereal, whatever you want to call it. So we're the paranormal ones in that whole, in the grand scheme of things of the electromagnetic spectrum. We're in this very tiny sliver of light, this perfect pocket of temperature, and we can experience, and we can smoke cigarettes and weed and have sex and do all these, have all these, play baseball and have all these amazing experiences. And they want that, and they're jealous of that, but they can't have that. So if you ask me, man, I think that we can, the only way to prevent that is to go, nope, I don't consent. I don't consent to the information that you're trying to feed me. I don't consent to a post-apocalyptic world. I don't consent to an AI digital God. I don't consent to any of this stuff, because that's the only way to get us to manifest their reality, is we have to consent. We have to believe it.
Yeah.
So
I love it, man. And I'll say, when I'm having sex, I'm usually flipping off the Nephilim, like, screw you. Aren't you jealous right now?
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. But yeah, man, I personally, you mentioned we both use AI inevitably for our podcast. And that is true. I have used AI for the podcast, particularly the artwork is AI generated, which I know talented artists have issues with that. And you know, they'll say, oh, it's just a plagiarization machine. It doesn't actually make art. It just plagiarizes existing art. But there's a conundrum, because otherwise I don't have art for the podcast. You know, like, I could put together, if you go back to like pre-episode 150 or something and look at the god-awful thumbnails I was putting together, you know, they're just like collages of things on Canva. And now the pictures look halfway decent. It is AI, but it's halfway decent, and you know what the show's about based on the picture, which I couldn't pull that off before AI. So you know, right there, there's an advantage for me. But then the flip side of the coin is if I use AI for writing, right? Like, I don't use AI for writing. I have, but I don't anymore, because I started to read what I was posting, you know, like an episode description. You can have like AI do that for you now, but I would read them and I'm like, this, it's like the AI doesn't even know what I talked about. It's just
right, yeah.
Up. So if you look at, you know, one of the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy episode description, and it doesn't make a lot of sense, I might have been a little sleepy that day and let AI do it for me. But lately, in the past few weeks or so, I'm writing them myself, because, I mean, even though most people probably don't even read the episode description, it still feels better for me to put my own words out there. And, you know, doing this for 4 or 5 years, I've gotten better at writing. Even it's just a paragraph, it's, you know, it helps. So that's the kind of thing we're giving up, is like, you know, we don't necessarily, I think we've been conditioned through school to think of some of these activities as tedious and boring, when really they're fulfilling. And you know, something like, you know, having a journal with your own handwriting in it is so special, you know, like you don't consider that now when you're alive, but as somebody who just had a loved one pass away, like, looking at her handwriting meant the whole world to me, you know? And if she had typed that journal up, that would have been worthless. I mean, the words would, you'd still read them, but still, you know, it's the handwriting. There's something to that that's just so special. And it's a signature. It's a unique thing. And AI, it's, unfortunately, it's, is just fusing it all together into one shit soup.
I didn't mean to talk over you, but I was getting excited about what you were saying, because I agree. It's 100% true. It is literally, when you write words down, that's why to-do lists get done, is because when you write words down, they have power, just because it's vibrations. Vibrations vibrated from your mind through your hand, and it wrote something out. And so there's power in the physical writing of something, or the physical typing of something, right? Because it's your thoughts. I really believe that whenever I write out descriptions for my show, I write them out. And it takes forever, sometimes hours, and it sucks, because I'm literally going through every episode and I'm like, I talked about this and I talked about that. And I'm literally writing that out, because I truly believe it gives more power to what I'm talking about. And thus it will get more traffic in, because it's authentic and it's real and it's coming from me. That's my theory on it. But it ties into what you're saying, because like you said, and I know you told me you lost a loved one, man, a couple weeks ago, and I'm terribly sorry for you, buddy. I feel for you on that, man. I know the feeling, dude. But yeah, I mean, you know, to have those memories that she did, that she wrote down with her own brain and in her own hand, you know, and like that, you can't replace that. There's no typed message. Like my kids aren't going to come in here when I die and they're going to pick up a something I typed up and print it off and be like, oh, good old dad's typewriting abilities. You know what I mean? They want to see something that I wrote from the heart. And something that was folded up, maybe like a letter, like we used to do when we were kids, writing letters in school and stuff like that. I still have a lot of that stuff, a lot of the love letters and stuff like that. And I don't keep them for, oh, I missed this girl or that girl. I keep them for, you know, it, because it meant something to me at that time. And it was a part of my life that I've grown from and I've learned from and all that other stuff. So yeah, you know, written words matter, dude. I mean, hugely matter.
I couldn't agree more, man. I mean, you even inspired me to just take a little note of something completely unrelated and very private, because I believe that 100%. Probably not the best time to make a personal note while I'm listening to you.
That's all right.
Emphasize the point. Like, yeah, I'm with you 100%. I wouldn't want to get into the details, but I have a couple experiences where something I wrote down came to life, so to speak, whether I wanted that or not. You know, it's sometimes it's you know, a twist of fate, as they call it. But yeah, I think part of the AI manipulation is to get people to move further and further away from being self-sufficient. And then it's like getting the rug pulled out from under you. You fall on your ass. You know, I think that's unfortunately what's going to happen to the younger generations. I know you have kids, or a kid, I don't know your situation, but I know you're a dad, and I'm sure this is something that comes to mind when you hear about your kids in school and their classmates are using AI to cheat on papers and such. Maybe your kids aren't that age yet, but I have cousins with kids, and they're all kind of talking about like, oh yeah, well, we use ChatGPT for homework if we need to, like, it's not a big deal. And I'm thinking to myself, like, if that was my attitude 10, 12, you know, years ago when I was in high school, I would not be where I'm at right now. I would be still probably living with my parents, smoking weed way too much, and just, you know, playing video games, probably, you know, basically wasting my life like I had been for a couple of years until I figured it out. But yeah, the AI, I think, is going to become a really dangerous crutch for people who, you know, otherwise could be really brilliant people.
Yeah. Can I give you an example of why it's dangerous?
Yeah.
So, and I can sense you might be wanting to wrap up soon. I could talk forever about this stuff. By the way, you got to shut me up sometimes, but you know, people think that, first of all, Google, all the search engines, all they are AI. They're just a form of AI. They're very basic for programming language called if this, then that, what I just talked about earlier. Google, there's only a handful of indexes. And when I say a handful, like two, there's only two. You got Google and you got Bingbot. You got Googlebot and you got Bingbot. Those are it. And so when you're using Google, it's powered by Google. When you're using Bing, it's powered by Bing. When you're using Yahoo, it's powered by Bing. DuckDuckGo, mostly Bing. Ecosia, Bing. AOL, Bing. Lycos, Bing. Start page, Google. Yandex, it's its own private thing. Brave Search, it's its own private thing. So you only have a handful of, so when you go to Google or you know, you think you're going to, maybe you're going to go to Bing and do a search and you're like, oh, I'll get the real information from Bing. You're not. They're all using, it's all being sourced by like two companies essentially that run the majority of the internet. So you're only going to get curated content from them. You know, back in the early days of the internet, you could get anything online, dude. It was freaking wild, wild west. You could watch people blow their heads off and fall off buildings. And I don't necessarily agree with that stuff, but you could do it. You could watch it. You know, it was crazy. Some of that stuff, like I said, I'm glad it's off the internet. We don't have to see it because it's terrifying. But some of the stuff, like information about the 33rd parallel or manifesting reality or whatever we're talking about today, you're not going to be able to find it. So what you're going to get is curated. So what happens is in programming language, like I said, it's called if this, then that. There's also this thing, they give it weighted scores. And so when you get a weighted score, like let's say you use ChatGPT, you go do a search on something and you go, tell me all about No Kings Movement or whatever. And you go and do a search on No Kings Movement on ChatGPT. It's going to give you source information from like New York Times and Washington Post and all these things, because a programmer, a human being, set the language to say, give it a weighted score. If it's New York Times, it's a plus 10. If it's, you know, Washington Post, it's a plus 5. If it's Breitbart News, give it minus 5. And so when someone searches, so that's Google and whoever else is creating these AIs, that's what they're doing. That's their sneaky way of curating content without having to curate it. All they do is just say, give it a plus 10. If it's CDC, give it plus 20, you know, as a credible source. So if you have a cure for weed, you know, a weed cure for cancer, and you wanted to put your information out there online, they're not even going to give your information on ChatGPT because you might be a minus 100. So anytime someone does a search for cures for cancer, they just get CDC information or John Hopkins University or whoever it is. And this gets into what I call, or what I try to sound the alarms about, is this: Google has control over online information and all these other organizations too, like Yahoo and Bing and all of them. But Google has guidelines called YMYL and EAT. YMYL means your money, your life, and EAT means expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness. Now, these guidelines basically censor anything related to health, finance, politics, and anything that the government doesn't agree with. And so but when you create a website, if you had a cure for cancer and it involved weed, and it was 100% real, my mama was just telling me about this, how to get rid of a wart and how you can use yeast to get rid of a wart. Well, if she wanted to create a website on how to, you know, use yeast to get rid of warts, it would be buried immediately because of Google's EAT and YMYL guidelines. And so your website is censored literally from the moment you launch it. It is censored from the moment you launch it. And if it has anything to do with anything that disapproves of CDC or anything like that, you will never be found. And I'll give you an example. I built a website in 2013 for a huntress. She was a famous hunter. Her dad was a famous hunter. And they hunted big game in Africa and all that stuff. I don't agree with all that. I don't really care. They paid me money. I just wanted to build a website, right? I definitely didn't agree with it. But they had some conservation and all this other stuff that they said that they were doing. And it wasn't, you know, terrible. All right. It didn't sound terrible, at least. But immediately, you couldn't find their stuff online. Google shadow banned them to, you know, smithereens. You couldn't find their stuff. So if you have anything, what YMYL means, by the way, your money, your life, basically the government's pretending to be like your friend, like gambling, for example. If you created a gambling website, Google's pretending to be your friend. If you had a asbestos, you know, cure or something like that, Google's pretending to be your friend. So they do this under the guise of, we're your friend. We're trying to help get all this other terrible information. We want to give you the best possible information and all this stuff. But they're really just, I mean, obliterating anything from health, natural medicines, like I said, finance, crypto, which is like crypto and debt relief and stuff like that. Anything related to politics, especially election narratives. Like if I said, oh, the election was fake in 2020 or whatever, then my website would be just ripped off the internet. I mean, it would be gone. You wouldn't even be able to find it in Google. Any kind of legal advice, if I was giving legal advice online, it would be shadow banned. Any kind of news, anything that's not mainstream reporting, and they have this thing called AMP. When you do a Google search, it's an AMP news, and it usually has like a bunch of news blocks, like New York Times and Fox News. Breitbart used to be the number one website on the internet, by the way. And now you can't even type in Breitbart.com in Google. I met Andrew Breitbart in 2009, and I remember having a conversation with him about this in 2009. And he said, censorship is coming. We won't be online long. And he was right. In 2014, they were essentially wiped off the internet. But they used to be the number one most trafficked website. And so now the narrative is just New York Times, CNN, and you can't even get Fox News on there, really. Because that's how shadow banned it is. And so it just sucks, man. I mean, we're living in very dark times. So the information that you're getting online is curated so much. And so when people go to do research for stuff, they're not getting a unique perspective on something. They're getting a narrative. So when someone in high school is doing a research paper, good luck, man. You're not going to find any new information out there. You're just going to be recycling, you know, old theories over and over about evolution and whatever else, whatever the narrative is, whatever the script is. You're not going to find anything about hidden history. You're not going to find anything about the 33rd parallel on ChatGPT or anything like that. It's just going to say, well, and I've tried this before. They'll just debunk over and over, and critics say, and yada, yada, yada. But there's ways to manipulate it. But like when you do a search and stuff like that, but it's basically all funneled into this, you know, whatever they want. And that's the information we see. And it sucks, dude. And that's why I'm glad you got companies like Alt Media United and, you know, Union of the Unwanted and, you know, Sam with, you know, Tenfold Hat and all these big shows, man. And they're growing because of the need and that desire to want real information and authenticity and truth and stuff like that. And nobody's getting it from curated messages online. We're just getting it straight from, you know, I mean, we're having to go to the water cooler and find information, and people are whispering about our shows, you know, through the grapevine and stuff like that. And, you know, we're having events like Bohemian Grove, and we're going to events like Bohemian Grove and stuff like that to get information. And it sucks that we got to do all that, but we'll win in the end, in my opinion. So,
yeah. Well, back to what you said about being human and manifesting and how they're just trying to manipulate us away from our own power to use it against us, right? Like, this is key. Recognizing that, waking up to that is what's going to stop them. Absolutely. Wow. There was something that I was going to ask you. If you give me a moment, I will remember it, but I'm...
Yeah, I like to talk.
We're here. I got a sore throat. We're not doing too hot, folks, so bear with me. But yeah, it is interesting to hear. You know, a lot of this comes from the left, right? We talked about Obama at the beginning. We talked a little bit about Bernie Sanders, who just so happened to be on Joe Rogan. We'll see. I haven't watched that yet, but yeah, I don't know. I'm not somebody who throw shade at Rogan. I'm not exactly a huge fan of him either. Like, I'll watch his show and I'm not usually impressed by him. But I do appreciate the service that he does for the community and the world. Like what you pointed out about Spotify and everything that happened during the pandemic with Rogan. I mean, we would have a completely different world potentially without him being in the mix. But at the same time, like, you have to ask yourself, is this all manipulated? Is this all pre-planned to make, you know, Joe Rogan seem like the controlled, or the opposite of the, like, controlled opposition? Like, you know, he's just the natural, oh yeah, well, obviously he's better. And it's same thing with Trump in many ways, especially in light of this 12 days war. Like, most of the Trump crowd was anti-war, and you see this happening. And I mean, the sentiment I've been seeing online is, why did we vote for Trump? He's a Zionist. And I hate that, because, you know, now all the lefties have a point, like, you shouldn't have voted for him, right? So I don't know, it is interesting. I'm trying to divorce myself as much as possible from the left right paradigm, but it's easy to pull in, you know, like, it's easy to get wrapped up in the propaganda. And now I really don't know what to think about Trump. You know, it does feel like, you know, the cards aren't all on the table yet. Maybe there's still a chance for this to turn around and we'll find out that, you know, somehow he was the white hat all along. But, you know, the more time goes on, the more I'm like, wow, they really sold me down the river on this whole Trump thing. So my apologies to the audience. But yeah, on that note, you know, we look at a guy like Trump, he had a television show, he had a board game, he had like all these different media things way before he was ever a president. So to your point earlier, like, he fits the bill just as well as all the people on the left that we talked about, you know, like, his whole persona was built in the media.
Yeah. I mean, of course it is. And, you know, and that's a good point. And that's what I try to say. It's like, you know, with the media buying companies, I mean, you got people, I don't think Trump had a media buying company. I could be wrong, but people who were close to him, like, what's the name, Brad something another. I don't watch politics. I don't get into politics anymore at all. I haven't done so in like 5-6 years now, only because of that reason. I realized a long time ago that it was all a game, you know, it's all like a shell game, and they keep moving pieces around, and, you know, the clock swings one way, and then all of a sudden Lindsey Graham is talking this way. The clock swings the other way, Lindsey Graham is talking that way. And it's just, I hate that it happens, man. And, you know, what you were saying a while ago about the sentiment of people, nobody wants this shit. Nobody, dude. Nobody I'm talking to is like, yeah, bomb Iran. Nobody. We were at Bro Grove whenever they announced this, and I was standing there talking to Jake Shields whenever this was announced, and everybody was, no, I'm sorry, Jake had just went up. But, and everybody in the audience was kind of like, what the fuck? You know, like, sorry about my language, by the way. But everybody was kind of like, you know, up in arms about it, you know, and that's very different. I mean, because this is what I would consider to be a conservative libertarian type of crowd, you know. And so if there are, you know, in the past, conservative used to be like, yeah, bomb this and bomb that. Now it's just like gross. It's gross to even think about. And I remember being one of those types of people back in 2008, before I really knew what was going on. You know, I remember being like, well, yeah, Israel's our friend, or whoever's our friend, and we got to support them and all this other stuff. And I was like, that was brainwashing, dude. We're brainwashed into believing this narrative all the time, and people buy it. And it sucks, because it does extend to things like police and all this other stuff too. There's a lot of propaganda behind all of these different things. I mean, police officers, my dad's a retired cop before he died. My brother's a cop. Lots of people and friends and family are chief police officers and all this other stuff. I have nothing against cops, but it's another type of organization that they protect themselves. And that's what government organizations do as well. That's what politicians do. They look after each other. That's what cops do. That's why you'll see a cop beat the shit out of somebody and just get a slap on the wrist and they'll go back to work. You know, it's this nepotism type environment that continues to breed more nepotism. And the only way to get rid of it, man, is unfortunately to almost get rid of the whole system and start over and try to figure out a different way, you know. But I'm not calling for any kind of uprising or anything like that. I'm just saying that that's what it says in our, you know, Declaration of Independence, right? I mean, that, where was it? Is it the, not the Declaration of Independence, but the Bill of Rights. anyways, man, I'm just kind of rambling here, but I think that in order for us to, you know, rise up and do something and make changes, we have to continue putting positive thoughts out in the atmosphere. You know, when anybody was talking about anybody in history who's talked about love and coming together and doing this, they were all killed. Martin Luther King Jr. and John F. Kennedy and, you know, everybody, yeah, John Lennon, everybody, and whoever's talking about love is getting offed, you know, because that's what COVID did too. Think about it, man. They pushed. They said no, you know, 6 feet apart. Well, we're bioelectric beings, and it just so happens that our magnetic field, our torus that surrounds our bodies, is 6 feet. They extend 6 feet. So if everybody's coming together and their collective energies is coming together, literally linking together, and we're starting to vibrate on the same wavelength of love and light and all this stuff, then it forces them out. And so I think that's the only way forward, is to start coming together. And it's happening now, dude. I mean, you know, people from all different races and backgrounds and stuff like that are harmonizing way more now than I've ever seen in my life. And like I said earlier, I'm 42 years old. So I think that we have something good going. We're in a great awakening. There is a lot going on. We are vibrating at a higher level, and we're starting to see more in the sky with like the drones and all the other stuff. We're starting to see very clearly what the agenda is from everybody. You know, it's like the light is being shined and the cockroaches are all scattering, you know? So I think that we are in a good time. It's not a good time for those who are in charge. I think that's why they're building bunkers and all this other stuff, but it's a good time for us because we're definitely coming together.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you, man. And I think the more things get crazy, the crazier things get, the more people will, yeah, take action to wake up and unplug from this system. You know, I think in many ways, the pandemic was a proving moment for people. And hopefully we won't have any more of those that are too traumatic, but I'm sure we will if this is life. You know, I don't know that things are going to get better right away. But with that in mind, you know, we can be the change just by changing ourselves. We don't have to go and yell at our neighbor or make people, you know, follow a certain slogan or believe what we believe. No, we just have to change ourselves. And I think the first thing everyone can do is just stop engaging with AI. Put your social media accounts to the side more than you do. You know, just unplug as much as you possibly can. Obviously, with work and all that, people like you and I, we can't completely unplug. But yeah, I think that's one of the silver linings of this past month of, you know, grieving and whatnot, is there has been a little bit more time that I've been able to dedicate to myself and be unplugged and, you know, just be out there in the world, and it's a good feeling. So I encourage people to do that. Stay away from these AI chatbots, because they're just, I mean, it's like going into a psych ward and expecting to have a great conversation. Like, it's rare, you know? So
yeah,
I feel like we're sort of letting the crazy into our lives with AI. So we got to be very careful. But with that, Brad, I do got to wrap up because my throat is killing me.
Sure.
And
can I say one more thing before we close up?
Man.
No kings. They're trying to push, no king means no Christ. So they're trying to push that into the ether, because what's happening when we all come together in love and light is we're rising on a higher vibration and we're going towards the light of Christ. Okay. So they're trying to push this no kings, no kings, because they're trying to get that into the airwaves. And I just want to make that clear. And by the way, the overthrow the government part is to, you know, what I'm talking about is to abolish, you can abolish it. And that was in the Declaration of Independence. And I had to look that up because I just want to be clear. I didn't want to say something stupid.
Right, so. Right.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I got what you're saying. No, no misunderstandings there, but yeah, Brad, always a pleasure to talk to you. We ought to do another one real soon. And for the folks at home, the Awakened Podcast can be found wherever you listen to this show, but go to Spotify. Because that's, as we pointed out in this conversation, that seems to be the place to be, where you're not going to get censored. And I have heard Apple is a you know, they have certain quirks when it comes to your user privacy. Some people argue that iPhone, you know, doesn't steal your data, but I have seen that Apple podcasting will artificially like de-rank somebody, right? Like a show that's popular can be de-ranked by Apple. So yeah, it's strange stuff. So go to Spotify. Brad, anything else you want to plug?
No, man. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. And thank you to your audience for listening and let me just talk and get all this information out there, because it's hard to do this on my own show as a, you know, sit here with a camera on and just talk straight into the camera. So thank you for giving me a very big platform to share my thoughts and opinions on this, man, because this stuff matters. We have to get rid of the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012. We have to get rid of it because that's causing all the chaos in the world. We have to.
Well said. Yeah, I'm with you, man. Hopefully Trump, you know, isn't the Antichrist. He isn't the, you know, false savior. But, you know, if he doesn't change the Smith-Mundt Act, he might as well be. So, all right, Brad. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. The Awaken Podcast is where people should go right now because the episode's over. So we'll catch you on the next one. Until then, immerse yourself in the moment wherever you are in the now.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into this episode of the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast with the Awakened Podcast's Brad Lael. Shout out to him. He's always a fun hang. Good to talk to him. My voice is a little out of it. My throat's a little sore, so it's nice to have him take the reins here with this conversation. Big shout out to him. You can listen to his podcast wherever you listen to this one. It seems like Brad prefers Spotify. I don't have a preference. I don't care. Wherever you listen to the show, as long as you're able to listen. But trust me, the best way to listen to this show is through our Patreon and through our Substack. You don't have to listen to any ads. It's a totally ad-free experience. And with the way the internet is going these days, I don't know that there's going to be many ad-free experiences left in the world. So yeah, sign up on Patreon. The $2 and $3 tiers are still available. We got the $5 tier, which gives you the most bang for your buck. And, you know, I promise folks all kinds of stuff on the Patreon. And I'm going to be sticking to those promises this year. I had some pretty big life changes over the past month or so. And yeah, I kind of feel like my own great reset has been happening. So lots of news to share. Hopefully we find an intern to share this stuff with, so I'm not just blowing in the wind over here. But email me at mfticpodcast if you are interested in the internship program. And big shout out to all of you folks who support the show through Patreon and Substack. I really, really appreciate you, and I could not do it without you. So pat yourselves on the back because you're a bunch of heroes. All right, with that, thanks for listening. Support Brad, and until next episode, immerse yourself in the moment wherever you are in the now.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.